إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, before we do the Fajr reminder, I request you to make dua for my cousin who was involved in a motorcycle accident and he has a head injury, he is unconscious in hospital. He has 3 small children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him and to cure him completely without absolutely any problem at all, and to bring him home safely and soundly back to his family, and to save his family from any calamity, and to save him and to bring him back without any issues whatsoever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this, and I request you all to please make dua for him. As far as today's Fajr reminder is concerned, the thing I want to remind myself and you, in the same subject of cleaning our hearts of tazkiyatun nafs that we have been talking about over the last few days, and those of you who haven't maybe followed this whole series, I suggest to go back 3-4 days and go to the first of these, of this series, which is called Am I Sick? I think it's called that. And listen to those from there, because then there is a sequence that will make sense, inshallah. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for the path of steadfastness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for the path of steadfastness. Ihtinas sirat al-mustaqim. I remind myself and you that for us Muslims, the destination is the path. The destination is the path, and to stay on that path. So it's two things: the right path and the ability to stay on that path. Because only that path will take us to Jannah. The truth is one. The truth is not 10 different things. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So our destination is the path. And the objective is to stay on that path. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reminded us to ask for steadfastness, to stay on the path and not leave the path. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Oh Allah, do not allow us to go away from the path once we have found the path. Do not allow us to be misguided once you have guided us. And therefore, I remind myself and you that steadfastness is the key. The staying power is the key. The perseverance is the key. We're talking about cleaning ourselves and cleaning our souls and cleaning our hearts, because the nur of the Kitab of Allah, the nur of Hidayat, does not stay in a place which is dirty. The nur of Hidayat does not come into a house which is dirty. So we have to clean this house. Let's see what some of the people who understood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the people who knew what they were doing, what did they do? Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he was praying in his garden, in his date orchard, was praying some nafil salah, when a bird came. It's a beautiful red colored bird, and it was fluttering and flying around trying to find a way to get out from under the thick canopy of the date orchards. And you have to be inside a date orchard to know what I'm talking about. It's almost like a roof. It's so thick. So it is very easy to understand why a bird might have to fly around to find a way out. And Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, his focus got shifted from his salah, and he lost his concentration. So what did he do? He went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I donate this garden in charity. And it was a very, very valuable piece of real estate. It had a beautiful spring of sweet water in the middle of this date garden, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go and sit there sometimes. And he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, why do you want to do that? He said, because this bird came and it distracted me. And this date garden was the source of my distraction in my salah. So I want to pay the price for this thing. He didn't say, I want to pay the price, but I'm saying that this is what he was doing. He was paying the price to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. He said, you cannot reach the level of piety of al-birr until you spend in the path of Allah that which is dearest to you. مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Not giving things which you really don't want and you don't like. Alhamdulillah, all charity is acceptable and all charity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. But the question is not of charity. The question is of reaching closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is of reaching the level of al-birr, and that happens when we are willing to sacrifice, when we are willing to invest. The word sacrifice does not apply, because sacrifice means that you have given something which belongs to you without expectation of return. But everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. It doesn't belong to us. How can we sacrifice? We can only invest what we have, and Allah gives a return. Allah does not take anything for free. Allah gives a return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahaba understood this. So they said, well, to get close to Allah, I will give that which I love the most. And because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, and therefore, here's the formula, here's the solution. So I'm going to follow the solution. Give that which you love the most. And as I have said many times before, we don't all love everything. We don't all love the same things. Some of us love money, some of us love fame, some of us love ease and sleep, for example. Some of us love our friends. Different people have different things they love. And Allah is not saying, give money. Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, until you give what you love the most. So to stay on the path of steadfastness, to be steadfast in that, to be clear and not move away from that, that is the goal. And this is what the Sahaba did. Similarly, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he was the youngest vice chancellor of the Al-Jamiat al-Nizamiya, which was the great Islamic university. He was the youngest vice chancellor of this university. And along with that vice chancellorship came a lot of money and a lot of name and fame and protocol and so on. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, can you imagine? I mean, look at this. Look at how people were focused on their own development. And that's the reason why Al-Ghazali became Al-Ghazali. He resigned that job. And what did he take? Did he resign the job of vice chancellor of university and become the prime minister of the country? No. He resigned that job and he became a janitor in the Jamia Masjid in Damascus for 2 years. For 2 years, Imam Al-Ghazali cleaned the masjid in Damascus. SubhanAllah. Think about that. Vice chancellor of university leaves that and goes to become a janitor. He goes to become a sweeper in the masjid, a servant of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does he do that? They asked him. And he said, because I found that my heart was dead inside. He said, I knew I had all this knowledge. I had the knowledge of this book, that book, that book. Today we go to a madrasa for 5-6 years and we come out of there and we think, we call ourselves alim. Huh? So who was Imam Ghazali then? Who, if I am an alim, then who is Imam Ghazali? So let me just think about this. Let us put ourselves in perspective. And think and understand what, just because I've read a few books, that doesn't make me an alim. An alim is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the condition of who is the alim. Innama yakhsha Allaha min ibadihi al-ulama. Allah said, my ulama, the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most are the ulama, meaning that khashyatullah is a condition of being an alim. It's not reading this book or that book. It is khashyatullah. And this is what the people who were the true ulama of this ummah, they understood this. And therefore, do we need to read books? Of course. Unless we acquire knowledge, how will we know anything? So we have to read. But our knowledge doesn't have to, it doesn't end with that. It's just not a question of reading books. The question is to say, what is the effect of this book? I learned something. What is the effect of that on my heart? This is what is the effect of that in my akhlaq? What is the effect of that in my mu'amalat when I deal with people? This is what we have to focus on. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah said, I found that my heart was dead. He said, I had all this knowledge, but that knowledge was not doing me any good. So what do I do? I go and clean my heart. How do I do that? I had this great post and so on and so forth. So therefore, sense of pride, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person with an atom of weight of kibar in his heart will not enter Jannah. He said, no. How do you remove the kibar? Become a janitor in the masjid for 2 years. Now imagine, now he didn't go there for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, he felt comfortable, so therefore he left. But otherwise, maybe he would have stayed longer. Abu Adhem, rahmatullah alayh, Ibrahim Adhem, rahmatullah alayh, the king of Balkh, spent 12 years. 12 years, his sheikh made him sit in the stable of his horse and to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, working on the kibar in the heart. He was a prince, he was a king of the country. How do you break that kibar? 12 years. And I always say this, Ibrahim Adhem, rahmatullah alayh, did not sit in the stable of the horse for the love of the horse. He sat in the stable of the horse for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that his sheikh did not imprison him, his sheikh didn't tie him up to a stake in the stable. He just told him, you have to sit there and make zikr of Allah. Ibrahim Adhem could have walked away anytime. He could have said, what kind of a stupid sheikh is this? He makes me sit with a horse. I mean, I came to learn knowledge and he, instead of teaching me, he's making me sit in a dirty place. No. He understood this. He understood why this was necessary. And therefore, he willingly submitted and he spent that time and then he became one of the greatest ulama of this ummah. The many, many incidents like this. Somebody asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, he used to call his friend Al-Bishr Al-Hafi. He used to say, Al-Bishr Al-Hafi is my ustad. He used to say, he's my sheikh. Somebody asked him, he said, why do you say that? Because you are a bigger alim than Bishr Al-Hafi. Bishr Al-Hafi knows a few hadith. I mean, alhamdulillah, you are an imam, you are a mujaddid, why do you call somebody like that? He said, I call him my sheikh because Bishr al-Hafi has the essence of knowledge. He said he has the hasil of knowledge, and the essence of knowledge is khashatullah. And that is why we have to understand and open our hearts. May Allah open our hearts to this. The job is to stay on the path of righteousness, to stay on the path of istiqamat, to stay on the path of steadfastness, to find the path and to stay on it. The reason I'm saying this is because we have talked about accepting the fact that we are sick, of identifying what that sickness is, and then we have to stay in the hospital until that treatment is over. We have to ensure that that sickness goes away and goes away permanently. So if I had the sickness of kibr, the sickness of pride, then I have to stick in there and make sure that my pride goes. And how do you do that? Go clean toilets. Go clean the streets. Go out in Jamaat for 40 days and 4 months. Go out. Don't worry about whether Tablighi Jamaat is right and wrong and whatnot. That is the place where you will learn and where your kibar will break. Because you will go or you will walk on the streets. You will go in the heat. You will go and sleep in masajid on the floor with mosquitoes. And you will go to people, individuals, poor people, shopkeepers, and whoever, and beg them to come to the masjid. And then you will stand there and you will talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. You will talk about the akhirah. And in the night you will stand in the tahajjud and you will cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat. And that is what will break the kibar in the heart. And without that, it will never happen. So do that. How do you do that? Do that which you don't like to do. Do that which you find painful to do. If you find that you have the issue is laziness, set an alarm, set 10 alarms and wake up in the night at 2 o'clock and stand in the hajj and pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure that. And don't do that one day and 2 days. Do that continuously. Do that when you're traveling. Do that in every situation because you are under treatment. You have to stay on the path of steadfastness long enough for that illness to be cured. It does not happen overnight. It can take whatever time it takes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help and guide, provided that we do what we need to do. And that's the reason why it's very, very important for us to keep this clearly in our minds and stop fooling ourselves. We have to stay on the path of steadfastness until that illness, whatever it is in our heart which we identified, until that illness is cured and until we are purified. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to purify our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the steadfastness to do what it takes for the heart to be purified. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to draw us close to Him, because unless He draws us closer to Him, we cannot get close to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.